Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of seven discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May of 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Yeah, your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Man, oh man, sometimes you just wake up with Sister Hazel in your head.
I don't think that's true.
Sometimes you just wake up, Sister Hazel comes through the mists of 1997. Was that the time period when Sister Hazel was around?
Definitely, yeah, something
just
around there.
Wake us up in the back of my head, and then I just see the scenes of me with a crossbow in the mall.
Uh-huh.
Just like shooting it at various people outside of the kiosk.
Well, that's
just
not going, good imagery.
It's hard to say what it is as I see in you.
Right.
Am I the one who's going to bring the end times?
You're a hairy Polish Cupid, that's to say the least. All right, this is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kitzel. That's Henry Zebrowski. If you hear a third voice, that would be Travis Morningstar. Occasionally, he gets the courage to speak.
I'm very brave today.
All right.
Shut up, Travis. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. It's nice when you speak.
Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to address something real quick up top. I see a couple of people, like, they'll post about the show, various sort of, like, either an article about the show or one of those things, and unfortunately I have the Google alert, so I see all
you
of them
have the
coming.
Google alert.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna
got
say
you.
There's no need for that.
I keep a tab on my friends and my enemies.
All right, very good.
A part of that, but I just want to correct it. Do you know that our show started in 2011? I think a lot of people think that the show started in 2015 because we had a server problem and all the shows got re-uploaded. So when I see someone say, being like, I can't believe the language that was used in episode 22 of Lad's Podcast. And it was like, well, it's because we were children.
Yeah.
And I think it was more like we were drunk children.
Well, you know, the entertainment business is not easy, and you got to do a lot of exploring as artists to find what works, what doesn't work. And if we inhibit people from doing said exploration, we're going to have the worst entertainment and the worst comedy in the history of the world.
Thank you, Kizzle. Back
to what comedy used to be in the movie The Favorite, where they just throw tomatoes at chunky people, which actually, now that
honestly,
I think about it,
pure
I'm not
comedy.
Against it.
That is pure comedy. That is back when it was totally okay to put a mentally handicapped man in a wig in a fancy conference room. That was a fancy
it was
room
really
throw
nice.
A bunch of rotten fruit at him, and they're all laughing and shit. I get it.
Yeah.
Part of me, I understand why they're laughing.
Oh, he was an entertainer. Of course, The Favorite. Check out that movie. It's very good. Also, quick update. We're not going to do a deep dive because there hasn't been too much new development legally. But Ed Buck, more people that have had interactions with him have come forward and have said similar things to what we assume to be the truth, that he drugs people and obviously the horrible things that can go along with all that.
When you get to talk to politicians on Top Hat, do you have to wear like a spinny hat and like a big lollipop to pretend to be a child
No.
for them to speak to you?
I don't talk to the donors. The donors are where it gets real gross. The politicians, I think a lot of them leave the donor meetings. They're just like, ugh, it's so disgusting. But because they are slaves to money, because that's the way our system is set up, they just have to deal with it.
But that's the problem, is that they have to deal with it. They're forced to deal with these people, other ancillary people in power that seem to create what appears to be some form of either pedophile ring. I don't even know what that is. I don't know if the cabal of ring. You know that, but
of
come
course.
On.
Sure.
Every fifth senator at least,
hey,
has been like, let me touch his toe. Let me touch the child's toe. I know that it's. I know that this is the sacrifice, and I don't want to sully the virgin child, but can I please just suck on its feet?
Well, of course it did happen with, I believe it was, what is it, Hastert. Hastert,
yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, dude.
Henry, coming in
hot.
She was
Speaker of the fucking House.
Yep.
So we'll get into this. Obviously, this is a very complicated issue. But the part of it was a picture of a young victim of Ed Buck that apparently just took a picture. It was a young male who took a picture in of a mirror with a guy that sort of looked like Ed Buck. I mean, pretty close to looking like Ed Buck, but with a scraggly meth beard and a bit of a pipe on his knee there, like it was his little nephew.
Absolutely. So it's pretty nasty what's going on over there. I'm trying to think of the name of the Republican congressman that I know from Fox News. I can't remember his name. He fills in for Laura Ingraham every now and again. I don't really agree with the guy on much, obviously, but he was telling me that the reason that he had to stop was because he couldn't make the phone calls anymore for soliciting cash.
Oh,
but
that's
I don't know what's
sad.
True or what's not.
I mean, obviously, as politicians, they have to dance for whoever puts cash in their diapers.
Yeah, dude.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, but I like people make hardliners. I want some hardliners. Like Jesse Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't need the strings.
No.
He didn't need these puppet strings of the puppeteers.
No, Ventura
right? He
was
free to speak his own mind.
He was the best. He got a subway system in Minneapolis. Anyway, this is not Abe Lincoln's top hat. Let's get on to some crime here. What do we got?
Murder Mountain.
Murder Mountain.
We don't want to go into too many details about it, but this show is fantastic.
Oh, it is.
And talk about. Tell me. Have you been cheaping up? While watching this thing?
Well, okay, so Murder Mountain, for those that don't know, it takes place in Humboldt County, and it's all about the drug trade.
The fucking
it is,
motherland. No, you say drug trade. You're talking about literally, it is beautiful,
it's gorgeous.
Organic groceries. These are not, this is not the drug trade that they are involved in.
Well,
this
there's
is
a
the
bit
sweet
of trade
eggs
going
of the
on.
Fucking mother. This is what Gaia gave to us to allow us to live together as a society.
Right.
That's what weed is.
Okay, I'm not going to disagree with that. Murder Mountain, I want to say also Netflix did a good job keeping it 6 episodes.
Yeah,
42 minutes roughly each episode. They didn't do the let's make it 15 freaking episodes of an hour long so we just repeat the same shit over and over again. So that was smart on their part.
But there's a couple of parts about this that I just want to hit up top. We can't go too deep.
No.
But number one.
Are we calling small spoiler alert? This is like the egg isn't quite spoiled, but it's been out of the refrigerator for like a day.
Yes, it's an egg in France or the UK where they don't believe in refrigerating eggs. You watch this series and the entire time because Natalie, like, you know, she's way into the true crime part of it and she likes all the dynamics of it.
Right.
But I'm sitting watching that fucking weed porn, dude.
It is weed
those
porn.
Those big, thick old titties are them crystallized fucking little mamas, man.
I don't know.
Sweet puppies, man. I just want to slap them in my lips. The terpenes just flying around.
Uh-oh.
At one point, when the Dookie brothers, who are crushing it, by the way.
The Dookie brothers are two of my favorite characters, specifically one of the Dookie brothers in the whole documentary. This is kind of a spoiler, but let's just say he tries to go legit. And that at one point he's just behind. As soon as this happens, as soon as he does, well, should I say?
As soon as he goes legit,
okay, he gets
approval.
Legit. He does the paperwork.
He gets approval to run his legal farm.
Yes, and then
he's like,
goes to
his, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Boogie,
he
bone,
he heel clicks,
rips.
He heel clicks on the way out of the whatever place he was at there, some government building. Sits down before he even shuts the door of his pickup truck. He rips a bong. He's behind the wheel of a vehicle. He just got legit. He knows he's on camera. Anyway,
dude,
the Dookie Bros.
You want him.
I hear they have great weed.
You want him stoned.
I guess you
don't want him sober because he can't drive when he's sober.
He might be one of those guys. I don't know.
He won Cannabis Cup with this strain called Z-Kittles.
Ooh.
That I'm trying to fucking find anywhere. If you're one of the Dookie brothers, fucking get this shit to me. I want to put it in my fucking dome piece. But so it went legal, and fucking just these big fucking thick ass fucking sweet ass fucking nugs, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, well, now it's time to bring my fucking family into the family business, man. And he's got his like daughter and his son out there in the weed plants and he's like, this one's called Lucille. Like he's got them all named.
Oh, he does.
But there's so much Keef in the air. Like, he showed this one thing where he was shaking one of the plants and all the crystals are like sliding everywhere, and it's so fucking scrumptious.
Yeah.
It looks like Parmesan cheese.
What would you pay?
Jupiter,
what would you pay to walk through that cloud of Keef? $5 every square foot to walk through?
But the whole time it's like, these kids are just covered in fucking Keef. It sprinkles an ice cream cone.
It's not good.
No.
All right. So check out Murder Mountain. It's also really fascinating. It's not all just about murder. Obviously, that's a key component. But they also talk about what legalization did to the small pot growers, how it really made it difficult for a lot of people to maintain their pot farms because of the regulation, because of the taxes, which is why if you ever have a conversation with someone, I am pro-legalization, but folks who are not, they'll say they want it decriminalized, and then it doesn't sound really smart in a criminal justice sense, but that's why they say that, because the regulations do put a lot, and they did put a lot of folks out of business.
They did see it coming, though,
yeah,
and they could have prepared a little bit harder for it, but I understand that they're in love with the lifestyle, too. Whereas there's one guy on this, on Murder Mountain, that all he talks about is like, yeah, we're the last of the American outlaws.
I know.
That's what we do. And he's wearing a bandana half the time.
Yeah.
But then he blows up the fucking spot of the entire industry. He shows them how they move the money. He shows them where he hides his money.
So stupid.
He shows them also being like, you fucking
He literally takes a military grade ammo box. And he shows the camera person exactly where he hides it. But then he doesn't realize, like, now it's not hidden.
Because it's not hidden anymore,
it doesn't
bro.
Hide. It's a secret, but then if you say it, it's not a secret anymore. So he's a moron.
And also, the best collection of old dudes in the world.
Yes.
Like the one guy that had been there since the 1960s, and they built their whole farm with their dicks out.
They were
completely nude with
they
no
were.
Shoes. He's like,
that's how it was done back in the day. We had roses out near the back of the farm, and man.
Right.
Sometimes them petals would touch your head or your dick, and you're just like, is that my wife, dude?
They like followed a weed flower out to the forest, and we're like, this is it, man.
It was.
This is it, dude.
I will say, naked farming is a young man's game. My God, I am really happy they chose to put on some vests, some slacks, even a t-shirt, because they are not looking great with the lifestyle.
I haven't seen the show. Is it Murder Mountain? Is it true? It's true crime.
It is true crime. No,
I mean,
it's great.
Mountain isn't the name of like the strain of a weed. Or
no, it probably will be now, but
Murder Mountain is technically the nickname that one of the areas of Humboldt County received, and because it's basically become a hotbed of violence that has been both exaggerated and intensified by legalization, but it's also partially them sticking to their own outsider lifestyles and refusing to change.
Yeah.
So, and over the years, a part of the reason why I think legalization is good is that the Murder Mountains got filled with fucking, like, it's not just old hippies anymore.
Oh, no.
It's also like, it's fucking the cartels got involved, and then the fucking, there are Russians up there. There's all this kind of weird mixtures of all these criminal countercultures, where it's being like, for me, and I'm speaking for myself, but I'm a certain soul that you agree. This is being like, we're for the small weed farmer.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
of course.
You got a little niche weed company, I'll fucking blast it out. I'll smoke all that fucking ish, and I will tell everybody how thick and chunky the clouds are and how lavender the fucking smoke is that's fucking swirling around my heels.
The thing that makes me most excited for 2019 is the possibility of legalization here in New York State.
Y'all need it, man.
No, don't. We don't need to be making salsa up here. But we should be making some marijuana.
New York City.
Henry mentioned that they were Russian. There were some Russian up there, although they looked to be walking pretty slow to me. I'll be here all week.
Come on,
let me just jump out of the car right now, and I'm sorry if someone hit a tree laughing so hard.
Wow.
Yes, and Murder Mountain, just lastly, shows you it's really interesting from a criminal justice standpoint, too. The cops and the people on Murder Mountain, they have a tumultuous relationship, and then legalization happens, and the people are like, we could use some police work, sir. And then the cops are like, you've been mean to us for 40 years. And then the people are like, but could you do your jobs? And then the cops are like, well, if you apologize.
It's unfortunately, it's this big fucking war of the squares versus the hippies that still exists. It's these guys that are just kind of born, which I understand. You fought this weed war for a long time.
Sure.
Humboldt County, the denizens of it, they didn't want you there. They fought you. They used to say that they would be afraid for their lives. So
I understand
on some level there's like some kind of chip on their shoulder, but also you're the fucking cops.
Get over it. They have some fascinating footage as well of the war on drugs, what it looked like during the 80s. Literally squats. It looks like a military invasion. And all they do is go there and they pull out the plants. And it's congratulations. God. I don't know why you need an AR-15 to do this, but nonetheless. Anyway.
I don't want to be too Doug Benson about this, but when I saw them grinding up them plants, I wanted to cry. There were parts of time where I'm just being like, they were hacking up these plants.
Oh, it was horrible.
Be like, you seriously are not going to look at those cones of freedom. You're not going to look at those big fucking saccules of deliciousness and not just stick your face in them, fucking assholes. You're really going to grind this shit up?
Yep.
Take some of it home.
It's nasty what they do.
Have you guys heard of Meth Mountain?
No, they can do it. They can maybe you can break down Meth Mountain.
That's,
I don't mean meth.
That's Chattanooga, Tennessee.
I love it.
Oh, God.
A guy in a bus told me that.
Really? Meth Mountain. Okay. All right.
Hey, man, do they need a whole mountain?
I don't think they need a whole bathtub. I think you can make it in a small sink.
I'm just saying divert some of that police attention to Meth Mountain. Maybe leave Marijuana Mountain alone.
And incarceration isn't the answer. But again, let's move on. Murder Mountain, check it out. Let's go on to our first story. Now, this story has made national attention. It takes place in, it's another Wisconsin story, and I don't know what the hell is going on with my home state of Wisco, but we have had some crime stories there.
They've had crime stories in the past, but it seems to be it's like they got sick of Florida being the front runner, so they decided to catch up.
I guess so. So this dude, Jake Patterson, he was formally charged with 2 counts of first-degree homicide. So what the hell happened? This 13-year-old girl, Jamie Kloss, evidently he wanted to kidnap her for many, many months, and he planned this out. So he broke into her home, was there for about 4 minutes. He killed her dad, his name was James, and her mom, Denise. The dad was 56. Denise was 46. Now he held Jamie for 3 months, evidently under his bed.
There is a lot. It is fucked. This story is fucked because he saw her. He said he had this kind of extended fantasy about her.
Ugh.
He tried to kidnap her 2 times. The first time he showed up, Patterson said that there were too many cars in the driveway. And then the second time he showed up, he just didn't go through with it. And then it just the way he did it, he did a full-on like SWAT team just himself onslaught of the house where he showed up in the middle of the night, knocked on the door in full fucking blacks, like where he had a face mask on. Dad opened the door, he shot the dad in the head. They in their chaos, they went up to the top bathroom. The mom was covering Jamie, trying to protect her. He walked in. He tried to get her to tape up the daughter. She wouldn't do it, so he shot her in the head.
Jesus.
And then took her out of there. And then she was with him for 88 days. And there's not a lot of information about what happened.
We don't know. Yeah, we have.
It sounds like he tried to kind of. It was a little Ariel Castro-y,
right?
But where it was just like he did the whole like he take the dog leash, he stays, he pays the dog leash, he stays to the
boy. Oh, that's
like
story
he
was
tried
horrible.
To like. Yeah. Do the brain trick on her
right.
by being like, you have to leave here. I'll find you no matter what. And eventually she was put under a bed that had these like weighted things around it so he could tell when she leave. And then he just left. And finally she was just like, oh, I can just get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she broke the psychological hold and the physical barriers. This is what he told the teenager, barely a teenager, 13 years old. He said something bad would happen if she were to move the barriers. That Patterson had built and at times was stuck under the bed with no food, water, or bathroom breaks for up to 12 hours. Kloss also told detectives that Patterson hit her once, quote, really hard on the back. The day of her escape, Patterson left the bedroom and told Jamie he'd be gone for 5 or 6 hours and again forced her to hide under the bed. This time, however, she moved the barriers and crawled out of the house. So this
good for her, man.
Absolutely.
Good for her. She seems to be in vaguely good spirits. I mean, obviously, we're going to hear more and more as we go. I want to hear more from Patterson about, obviously, his mentality, but it just seems to be it's rough.
Oh, he is.
Because
disgusting.
It's scary.
It is.
It's really, really scary.
Well, this is the thing of nightmares. This is totally the thing of nightmares.
Well, because you know what it is. It's you want to say, and a lot of people do say that a lot of abductions and these kind of things happen spur of the moment. And but it's like sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you've been cased out, and I think that's a part of if like maybe weed doesn't help it. But like you know, I watch Cars on the Street.
Well, I think you're slowly losing your mind. I think you're eroding, you know, things like rationality and stuff.
Gaining clarity. And I see stuff like that, but it's like if you're seeing you're being good, like, don't take it lightly if you feel like you're seeing the same car a lot, right?
Right.
Like, even if you take a little picture of their license plate, I've done that a couple of times. So, and then you can cross-reference
right.
to see if you're being tailed.
Okay, so very good. Very good police work, junior detective.
Wait till you see what happens in my life when this career finally gives up on me.
Right, right.
Eventually, I will be a private detective. That is a part of what Murder Mountain showed me, is that I will do that.
Oh, the private detectives in Murder Mountain are legitimately heroes. So, after Jamie escaped from the house, she ran into a person named Jeanne Nutter. She was out there walking her dog, and she was like, she begged her for help. Because she escaped, Patterson went outside of his house. He went back home. He's like, oh my God, where is she? He went outside of his house, and he was driving around for like 10 minutes, and this is where the cops actually pulled him over. So the cops spotted a car that could possibly be Patterson's and followed it, eventually conducting a traffic stop after the vehicle passed its listed address. When Patterson was ordered out of the car, he said, quote, I did it. So there you go.
I did it.
So because
it's of like,
her-
do you really want to do it that happy? Is there really going to be that braggadocious?
I think that I am, this guy's a freaking lunatic. I have no idea. But because she escaped, caused him to go searching, and was able to get his ass busted. She's an absolute fighter and a warrior, and it's just going to be devastating going forward, obviously, trying to cope with the loss of your parents. And, I don't see how you ever trust anything ever again.
No, I don't know. Hopefully she'll have time can heal, but hopefully she also gets like the PTSD therapy. I imagine she'll need.
I hope
also
so.
What's fucked up too is that I mean we just don't know what happened in the house.
No, we don't.
And he was really young.
He was
21, and I think that's interesting. He had all family. You'd say that he'd have family over all the time and people coming in and out of the house. So he had a network of people, and he said that he'd play music in her room so she couldn't hear what they were talking about in the other room.
This is the same. Going back to what you said earlier with Castro. Castro would have people over as well. And of course, there was one room that you could never go into. How do you, for 3 months... I just feel like I would know that my friend was harboring someone against their will.
You know immediately. I mean, this is for the listener, too. If somebody has a room that you cannot go to and it is not... If someone has a room that they cannot go into and it is not within a week or two of Christmas...
Right.
Go in that room.
Go
like,
in
you
the
should
room.
Just be like, I'm going to the room. I understand if it's a Christmas surprise.
Sure,
or one of those you got to have a surprise is one of those things where you're being like, whoa, you know. But if they keep acting like that and you're like, hey, it's March.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, my birthday's in July and our anniversary is in August.
Christmas is long gone, yeah.
I should be able to go in that room. Are we doing Trading Spaces here? That
right.
old show?
Right. I remember Trading Spaces. Yeah, it's in the best case scenario. You have what happened with Ed Gein's home, just a perfectly preserved room. The worst case is you have a person in there. Well, I guess the worst is you have a body in there, but the second worst is you have a person in there. And then you can be a hero and save them. So, good Lord, check out your friends. Check out the closed rooms. Gacy was the same way. The garage. His wife couldn't go into the garage. Like, what? Come on.
You can't go into a room in your own home. There is a problem.
Absolutely.
There's a problem in there, even if it is, because what if it is perfectly preserved room? Because normally that means a sign of intense grief. Normally it means being like, this was Belinda's room. And they keep it like preserved exactly from whenever Belinda disappeared.
Oh,
and I
of
understand
course.
Grief. Grief does come in many ways.
Yeah.
But like maybe someone like that. What's her Maria Kondo? Is that the Japanese woman doing all the clutter shit?
Mary Kondo, yeah.
Okay.
If it doesn't spark joy, get rid of it.
That's what
yeah,
I
so
say.
So if it's the dolly of your dead little girl, Marie Kondo is going to say throw it out.
No, you can't throw it out. I'm assuming Belinda has a lot of 1990s professional wrestlers on the wall. She's probably got Diesel, a.k.a. Kevin Nash up there, looking all strong. Maybe a couple of posters she got from the carnival. You know, so you want to keep that room perfect because that's historic stuff.
Could be black mold.
Could be black mold, yes.
Embarrassing and dangerous. Could be a priceless sword collection. You never know. Could be one of the Fabergé eggs that you don't want broken or stolen.
Possibly, and we got a sword story coming up.
I want to see this shit. I want to see this shit my fucking self, though. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I want to see it. Shit, let me in there. Come on. I'm good. I'll tip. I'll give you the standard donation. It's like going to Zach Bagans' house and being like, I want to see the doll from Annabelle right the fuck now. And then we can have hors d'oeuvres. Then we can sit and talk about our future business endeavors.
Sure. Absolutely.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do, and the memories keep cycling, and I get emotional, and we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy, and that is not sad. That is celebratory, so you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Finding work-life balance can be tough, but Squarespace gives you the tools to reach your goals and have time to celebrate. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint, you can select from curated layout and styling options to create a personalized website optimized for every device. Get your website discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools. Plus, make checkout easy for customers with easy-to-use payment tools. And with Squarespace AI, you can explain what your site is about, choose your tone, enter what you need, and get auto-generated text. And that helps you save time. I know I'm sitting on about two literal wheelbarrows filled with horse pics. Now, part of the issue has been is a lot of these pictures are getting stopped at customs because some of them do depict various world leaders in horse-like circumstances that seems to be pinging a lot of these custom agents' accounts. Now, so what I've done to do is like, so while I'm trying to work on hand smuggling these horse pics over various country borders, I then also have time, because Squarespace is doing all the other ad work for me, to go and work on my killdozer at home. So thank you, Squarespace, for allowing me to diversify in the best way possible for this country. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial when you're ready to launch. Go to squarespace.com/left to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It says here I have to talk about something I need to get off my chest, and I guess I can share it here. I eat mayonnaise for fun. It's a hobby of mine, and it's an addiction. And it's a daily weight on my life, how much I need whipped egg whites and oil crammed into my veins. As soon as I wake up, and a lot of people carry around a lot of different stressors, big and small. Some people are presidents. Some people are soldiers. Some people have to eat mayonnaise, especially with hard-boiled eggs, which is what I eat for lunch. But I guess I should share that in therapy, because therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. And what I do is I just add eggs if I have mayonnaise left over. I just continue to add the eggs. But if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I hope they can help me. My God. I hope they can help me. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/lastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. H-E-L-P.com/lastpod.
Hey! Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. That's one of my favorite things about it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Now, personally, I'm in the middle of re-landscaping my yard. I like to do it myself because I called up a landscaper to see how much it costs, and it was absolutely insane. Plus, I love dirt. I love getting my hands in the dirt, and I love planting things myself. And Fast Growing Trees has given me some wonderful plants that I can use. Like, I got this Texas sage. It's purple. I've dug up a whole bunch of horrible bushes and shrubs up in front of my window and in front of my house and put some purple Texas sage up there, and it's going to thrive, and it's going to look real good. And I didn't even have to go to a nursery to buy it. It came to my house. Now, this spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code LEFT at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code LEFT at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code LEFT. Offers valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
This next story is coming straight from the upper echelons of the universe. Ooh. Apparently, a mysterious radio signal was from deep space was detected, and it seems to be an exact or close to exact replica of an old of a blast of radio waves that was received earlier last year.
Awesome.
Astronomers have revealed details of mysterious signals emanating from a distant galaxy picked up by telescope in Canada.
Ooh.
The precise nature and origin of the blasts of radio waves is unknown. They say it comes from source about 1.5 billion light years Jeez. Away. It's these 13, they call them fast radio bursts.
Okay.
Now, basically, they don't know what the hell this is, but they say these things come like, they come through every once in a while. And what's really interesting is that we received a repeater of an old signal, which is a thing that they don't particularly understand what the hell that is. They think that maybe it could be a neutron star with a very strong magnetic field that is spinning very rapidly, or maybe two neutron stars merging together that shoot this burst of energy, because they're saying it's coming from this very like signal-rich part of the universe. But there is obviously an intimation that perchance their source of this FRB is alien. Now, what I like about The Guardian is that The Guardian goes through the alien theories very without being fucking pedantic about it. They don't like, because you know, CNN is like, oh, maybe it came from a little green man.
Yeah, I know.
Which infuriates me.
Right.
Which they at least say, well, one of the theories is that what are these FRBs? Are they a pointed message sent to us that we have yet to decipher, which they are saying they can't find a discernible pattern in this signal. They don't know if it's like it contains information or not. And there are also some people saying that it could be a wake from some sort of interstellar craft that maybe comes out of it. We just don't know.
Right.
It's just more of that. I love being in this interesting world where they're being a little bit more open to admit,
yeah,
we just don't know what this shit is.
I mean, honestly, BBC.com, the news story, they just say they end this story with the possible theories. They just say here they include a neutron star with a very strong magnetic field, as Henry said, spinning very rapidly. Two neutron stars merging together, and among a minority of observers, some form of alien spaceship. So it is interesting how that notion has become a little bit more mainstreamed, because Henry is right. For the longest time, forever really, ever since War of the Worlds got everyone so scared, they've been laughing off the very notion of extraterrestrial existence. So that's kind of fascinating. I was also thinking maybe it could be coming from that Tesla that Elon Musk threw up into the space, but I don't think it got to 1.5 billion light years away. The way I get it is it probably only got to a million miles away and then it broke down.
Yeah, I mean, and then tell you what, then you gotta get all the replacement parts, so it's floating through space, and that's gonna take time for them to come in, so maybe it's 2 million fucking light years away.
We are I don't think so. We're causing a lot of traffic accidents today.
A lot of laughter. But it's very interesting because they said the first bit of the, because it's these 13 signals that they're getting,
right?
And these little bursts. So the first one that they got from this, what is in British Columbia, it's the Chime Observatory.
Okay.
It consists of 4 100-meter long semi-cylindrical antennas. It looks pretty fucking dope.
Yep.
It's cool. I'd love to have some, me and the Dookie brothers hanging out next to it.
Oh,
having some lots from CBD lattes and fucking ripping bongs, just kind of going through a lot of this. A lot of the footage,
of course.
I imagine, that would just kind of blend all together because our short-term memory has been completely destroyed at this point.
Yeah, it's been obliterated.
But they said that the first burst that they got happened as soon as they turned on the fucking antenna for the first time. And it's very interesting that like a year later they got another one.
Well, they
they just don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah, they're saying that it's possible that there's thousands of these so-called FRBs out there. The first time this was reported, such an event has also been reported once before by a different telescope. So there's multiple witnesses here, multiple different sources. So it is quite fascinating.
I think it's very fascinating.
Could it be? I mean, even if it is not an extraterrestrial, it's still fascinating from, you know, a science perspective. So there it is.
I just like any news that maybe suggests that the universe is more complicated than we understand it.
Right.
It allows us to not always be worried about like the here and now and what we're dealing like. I don't know. It's just nice to like look towards the skies.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of things that are completely not science related, this next story has some political tone to it. It also has someone who believes that people are actually lizards. A self-proclaimed member of the far right group, the Proud Boys, which is of course where you can't masturbate forever, and there's horrible people.
I forgot. It's like, shouldn't they be like, they're like the Dumpy Crew.
We've talked about them extensively. I think about four episodes ago on Able Against Top Head, I talk about their so-called leader or ex-leader,
What a fascinating group of intellectuals.
So this dude also believed in the QAnon conspiracy theory. Anyway, his name is Bucky Wolf. He killed his brother in Seattle because with a 4 foot long sword, he stabbed his bro in the head with that sword because he thought his brother was, quote, a lizard person. So
was he correct?
I don't think that he was correct, Henry. I don't think that his brother was a lizard person.
Wouldn't you be eating crow right now if he stabbed him in the chest and he transformed into a lizard alien, though?
But that did not happen, though.
Nope.
So I think he is. I would eat crow. Yes, indeed. If he did turn into a legitimate lizard person, Bucky Wolf would be onto something. But I think he's really just someone with extreme mental health issues that probably doesn't need to have a 4 foot samurai sword.
It's the samurai sword industry. Number one is irresponsible. The fact that you could just get them and you're selling them to a highly flammable group of people a lot of the time. But, you know, I've maligned sword collections in the past, and I think mostly it's just out of pure jealousy.
Sure.
I wish I had a bunch of swords.
Yeah.
I do think that they're fun. But I do think that maybe they do sometimes end up in the wrong hands, especially when it's like, I mean, anybody over 250 pounds with some form of, like, Naruto shirt on. Like, I feel like if you had a sword, a lot of times those guys are safe. I think it's the opposite. If you're more of a bespectacled man with like a sweater on and you got a sword, I'm going to feel you're going to use this.
I think that we got to have swords out there. We can't be taking people's swords. But what we should do to get a sword or a gun, YouTube. I want a YouTube search history from the last month. And if I see QAnon, if I see a lot of reptiles, and if I see like the world's run by lizard people, you're on it. You got a 1 week break. I got to think about it. I got to really look at your eyes and see if you can handle it.
This guy collected like the chaos emeralds of somebody that would be a murderer. He has QAnon, Proud Boys.
Oh, he's got it all.
Constantly posting about Trump and Christianity.
I understand some of the motives a little bit of wanting to move into that world because it's a whole world of unadulterated support for the mouth-breathing loser. Like, and so they have a support network. Like they get to go and they get to have a bunch of people to talk about shit. QAnon, from one hour since we even did our own episode and now everything when things pop up, it's way more of just a hobby for these people
absolutely.
Than anything else.
It becomes
and then it's just hard when it becomes weaponized.
Yeah,
when
absolutely.
All of a sudden it's like what happened with Pizzagate. It's the same shit where it's just like you have now this guy's killing somebody because he legitimately thinks somebody's a lizard alien.
But you know
and.
There's a great documentary out there right now. It's called Hillbilly, and it's about the Appalachian community there. But you can see once you're like alone in the middle of nowhere, you get in these YouTube holes. It's so much more fun to think that the world's run by lizards, and it's so much more fun to think that there's some dude behind a curtain named Q who's running and pulling all the strings. Because it just makes your life much more exciting than pushing carts at Walmart, which is most likely your job. There's not a lot of work out there across this country. But anyway, just quickly.
You're very scared of life, too. And a part of it is that it then adds order to a life that is chaos.
Absolutely, because life is chaos. So this dude, after he did this Bucky character, he called the police on himself. Now, the killer claimed that he thought his brother was, quote, a lizard. When detectives arrived, he asked them if they saw, quote, other lizards. According to court filings, Wolf has been charged with second-degree murder. A Facebook page confirmed to belong to Wolf by a local Seattle TV station is filled, as Travis said, with references to Trump, Pepe the Frog, and he's been in, who, of course, was embraced by the far right group. So, yeah. So anyway, it looks like this is another example of conspiracy theory fun getting a little out of hand, which is unfortunate for Henry because we talk about this regularly. Henry likes to dabble in the world of conspiracy. And then all of a sudden, we got Sandy Hook parents being tormented. We got this guy killing his parents, or killing his brother, rather, and a whole series of other people taking this stuff literally.
It's hard because like, I did a episode of Sam Tripoli's podcast when he wanted to ask me about the state affair of conspiracy theories, and I was in a rough mood. I should have just said no. I shouldn't even done the episode honestly because I was just like not there to have fun.
Okay,
but I miss having fun with conspiracies,
right?
And that's really the problem is that you look at it and what if there is a touch, a seed of truth of all these things that people are talking about? I do feel sympathy, and I understand. If you did truly believe that there were lizard aliens running the government, you'd want to do something about it.
Sure.
Or if you believe that QAnon was real. But the thing is that these big, crazy conspiracies just serve as... It's smokescreen for what are the real conspiracies,
sure.
Which is like Pizzagate. Just distract from the fact that there is institutionalized pedophilia in a lot of different stretches of power all over the world, and it seems to be some form of symptom of power. It seems to be something people that strive for power, like nakedly for power, seem to also go into this other world of sexual deviancy because they want power over every living, breathing thing. That's
well, and
what
it's
it is.
Also part of their game. They get a thrill, like. You say, how can you watch these politicians in like a hearing or something, you know? And they're like, it looks so boring, but the game is what they are not doing, what you don't see them doing.
It's the other side. It's the shadow side.
There is some weird, inextricable link between sexuality and power. And so I think that also comes out in full display when you have some people that crave power.
Absolutely.
They exhibit power through sexuality.
And you're also trying to find a origin for the corporatocracy that we're in right now, and a part of it is people want to say lizard crew, the reptilians got involved in the elite families that control this world and basically powered by this extraterrestrial energy. That's how they got their hand all inside of the machinations of how the entire world works and all the shit. But actually, it's more mundane, and unfortunately, because I'd love it. If it was just a bunch of aliens. We just
it would be
them.
More fun than, than you know, just the big banks getting together and basically.
Running
creating
shit.
The Fed and all that kind of stuff. But I think that's also very interesting. The Rockefellers.
We will eventually do. We will. Marcus and I have threatened this. in the past, but it will happen. We will bore our audience to death in the last year of last podcast left, whatever it is,
with the Rockefellers,
doing our masterwork, which will be going through each family of the Illuminati. And we're going to go through all this shit because I do believe in a lot. I mean, like, having two Clintons trying to be in the White House was not a fucking coincidence. Having the fucking Bushes be completely involved in the White House is not a fucking coincidence.
No, of course.
Having Obama laughed his way through his presidency and set up for where we are now. And it's like, it's all of this bullshit where we have to, like, we have to, there are elite families that run the world.
Well, you know, it's difficult to get those kind of connections. It takes a long time to get the ground game out there up and running. And so it certainly helps to have a long history of building blocks, basically, that then can catapult you to the presidency much easier. Because obviously I think W had a much easier path than HW because, of course, he lost to Reagan in 1980. But we should not be talking about this anyway.
But going back to Bucky Wolf, I'm just looking at his Facebook, and I think there is like some kind of correlation. If your Facebook profile photo looks like there's Vaseline covering the lens
always,
as you take it, that I think that means you are more likely to stab someone in the head with a sword.
All right. Well, that's a Travis Morningstar. That's a bold police-like prediction.
Portrait mode? That guy's not stabbing anyone there with a sword.
Well,
no, that guy is on his way to an audition.
Yeah.
Let's move on. We're getting a little bit in the political here today, but, you know, just because it just so happens to work out for us.
Now, I want to talk about conspiracy a little bit. This concept, right? So recently in The Guardian, again, I do love The Guardian.
The Guardian is good.
I believe they're spreading disinformation about this thing called, there was a sonic attack on a U.S. embassy in Havana in 2017, and they're trying to say that it was fucking crickets.
All right. So
the U.S. embassy in Havana more than halved its staff in 2017 when diplomats complained of headaches, nausea, and other ailments after hearing penetrating noises in their homes and nearby hotels. Now, there's a lot of people that had said that this was caused by some form of acoustic weapon.
Right.
It's basically it's a persistent high-pitched drone that's used to discoordinate people's brains and hurt them physically. But they're trying to say with this analysis, this new group, a bunch of scientists got together, they're like, no, actually, it's crickets.
All right. Well, now, what's interesting about this is we know for a fact that sound weapons have been used in the past and they will continue to be used. They're really perfecting them. We saw this happen in the protests in Ferguson, Missouri a couple of years back. They literally used sound weapons.
Yes.
We saw it on national television, on iPhone cameras, on everybody's cell phone cameras. So it definitely is within the realm of possibility. And if you don't think that they are doing things like this, well, I got a surprise for you. They've been doing these things for a long time. Google, if you get a chance, the CIA poison dart gun. When we talk about this sort of James Bond-like weaponry and you're like, that's for the movies, in reality, it happens. It is used. So basically, this was a dart gun that held a frozen pellet. And the pellet, the poison, which it was literally just the pellet, the poison would stop your heart, simulate a heart attack. And the only thing that would be visible on the body as a possible intrusion would be a super small, less than a freckle size dot. So the CIA and all of these, governments all across the world have been perfecting weaponry like this, like the sonic boom weapons. And I don't see why this would be even in the realm of conspiracy. To me, this is pretty, this is what they do.
Something is being covered up for some reason whatsoever. I don't know if it's just because they don't want you to know the nature of their visit there or it's something. So there's something that's connected to this. When I was researching into the ATIP, the program, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, which was the reality of it was revealed in December of 2017 with several videos of these UFOs that have been now extensively written up by the Pentagon. If you read the report on the Tic Tac UFO when that came out in December of 2017, there's an actual Pentagon report of it. It's pretty fucking crazy, but I'll get into that later. But
right.
The more it's about how when ATIP was researching these UFO sightings that they were getting, right? They basically they were going through all of this, these piles of raw data. A part of what was declassified about it was the list of reference materials that they pulled to help to describe what they were seeing. Some of the reports are not, but some of them weren't. Some of them were.
Okay.
But the shit that was stuff that's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's the Pentagon. It's like it's gravitational engines, warp drives, going through wormholes. And these are very, very serious, very intense educational papers about the physics involved in these things working out. So
right.
The Pentagon has been thinking about some wiggity fucking shit for a long time.
Well, why do you think they need $700 billion? They got all the money in the world to play with. And if you are on the inside, I gotta say, it would be kind of fun to just be like, how do we get this thing off the ground?
Exactly.
This article suggests that it's the, like you said, Henry, like crickets are the cause of the sound, but the diplomats actually receive concussion-like injuries.
Yeah, and they were vomiting.
And they're just because they were too much of a pussy for Cuban crickets?
Well, okay, so this is it. So according to this professor of sensory biology at the University of Lincoln, this is what he says. He said the recording is definitely a cricket that belongs to the same group. Okay, but then if you actually listen to the footage, the cricket's mating call in the Cuban recording did not match up perfectly. The sound recorded in Havana, had an uneven pulse structure, which is not seen in calling insects. So it looks like they found a researcher, and you can find a researcher to deny climate change. You can find researchers, they're just human beings, so there's going to be one for all of you, one for everyone. It seems like they found a researcher that says this is crickets, and then they also say, but then it looks like it wasn't, the sound did not match up.
But they made it match up by like, be like, but if you play it through one speaker in this one environment, it sounds like that. And you're like, okay, you just told us it definitely was a sonic attack, but you don't want us to talk about it being a sonic attack.
So like in this version of Pinocchio, Jiminy Cricket starts singing When You Wish Upon a Star and Geppetto's eyes start bleeding.
Yeah,
so that'll happen.
She just fucking season out and shit. That'd be fucking dope. That's what I'm talking about.
According to Gerald Pollack, who studies how animals detect and discriminate sensory signals, he says the paper shows how the cricket's song could, when echoed to be expected in an indoor setting, are taken into account, produce sounds strikingly and quantitatively similar to the one provided by the AP. I find it to be a plausible explanation. But then he also says, except perhaps for an occasional sleepless night, no one has suffered ill health as a result of cricket calls. So
because
Travis pointed out, these people were sick, they were vomiting, they had concussions. It doesn't sound like a cricket to me.
Think about that, right? Because, this is exactly what it is. Would it not have, in the room, as soon as they played it, wouldn't they all be like, yeah. Like, all sick and shit. That shows you that's not the sound.
Bugs don't need this shit, by the way. They already have, like, the deck is stacked against spiders and bugs of all types. We don't need any more propaganda for people to dislike bugs.
That's what this is.
Right.
So I think this is a sick move on their part.
And, of course,
this
we
is about
know,
crickets.
We know that that Cuba's been experimenting with weapons for quite a long time. They have a long history of it. And these are diplomats. I mean, these aren't people. You can't chalk this up to the local yokel out in Arkansas or something being abducted or experiencing something. These are people who would have no reason.
Like 90 diplomats, right?
Yeah, it was quite a bit. And they said
they
were just
pay a bunch of noises just so that they have a reason to leave and they could sneak the children that were in their rooms out the back door. Is that what this is?
I really don't think they had to do that.
Are cricket sounds so common in Cuba that they're like, you know, that the cow goes moo? Do they have like a different version where it's just cricket? Cricket
maybe.
Goes.
A third of the woods. Sometimes you get a nice little camping trip. Once you start here, those crickets can be pretty loud. But again, I've never had.
But they describe the sounds as like grinding metal. That's what they describe the sounds. Or buffeting of air, like as if a car was moving by with its windows down.
All right.
They got sonic attack.
So there
they got sonic attack, and I'm not talking about the shit that you have after you eat at Sonic.
Ooh. You know, I've never eaten at Sonic.
It's delicious.
So we'll move on from the sound machine, but I just want to say this in closing on that conversation. The world isn't run by lizards, but it doesn't mean that you have to be, like, just fed everything. Don't swallow everything you're fed. When it comes to these things, these are real possibilities, and I think extremely probable that these machines would exist. And obviously, they don't want us to know about it because that would greatly affect them negatively.
I also believe that anything is possible within the infinite realms of our permeable reality in terms of the fact that we generate a reality all the time. We don't really understand what reality is. We don't really know what information is. I'm not going to discount that there are not lizard aliens, but I will say I don't think that they have an understanding of what our life is, or maybe an interest in what our life is, the way you would think that it is. It's a far more complex, weird, interdimensional thing, and it's not just them hanging out with Hillary Clinton, watching her eat a baby at John Podesta's house.
Well, I'm gonna say I don't believe in the lizard aliens,
sure.
But that's fine because we're allowed to. And also, just lastly, this is a point that I was thinking about when it comes to media and stuff. Don't let them edit your life for you. You edit your own life. You can take your new information, take in your info. You edit your own reality. Anyway,
Did you get blue pilled this morning?
No, man. I didn't take any pills other than Prozac and my other one.
Yeah, you take them. You take those.
Are there any cases of the Miami Sound Machine giving people concussion like injuries?
Hey, that would be so cool. Gloria Stefan just comes out and just being like, "Are you ready for the truth?" And we're like, "Yeah, rhythm's gonna get you." And then it's
right. Well, now, okay, Henry, you have a correction to make.
Now, this is a correction that was sent to me by, I don't ever want to spread disinformation. I like to have Luciferian honesty anywhere I go.
Sure.
This is from a listener, and so in the name of honesty, I'm reading this, and I hope it finds you well. The subject of this email was, "Henry, please read this. Bigfoot has a small cock."
Whoa, what?
"Hi, Henry. My boyfriend and I were listening to the latest side stories and heard about your obsession with Bigfoot cock. Contrary to popular belief, and thanks to my amazing biology professor, Bigfoot would have a small penis."
Why?
"Humans have the largest penis in both absolute size and proportion-wise compared to apes."
Really?
"For instance, the average human penis is around 15 centimeters, while chimps and gorillas are around 10 centimeters and 5 centimeters, respectively."
Wow.
"However, chimps have testicles around 2 times larger than human testicles."
Huh.
"Poor gorillas have testicles about 0.5 times the size of human testicles." All right, but I mean, whatever. "But it's most likely differences in ape culture are responsible for differences in the penis size. Chimps, excluding bonobos, live in a patriarchal society with multiple males and females. Due to living in a patriarchal society, female chimps don't get a choice in their sexual partners. So males have to compete with males, and they have to have larger testicles to produce more sperm for a greater chance at making a little baby chimp. So they are inherently creating things with smaller dicks and bigger balls."
Huh.
"By contrast, their peaceful matriarchal cousins with the bonobos literally have hetero and homosexual relations for anybody. I understand a matriarchal society is supposed to be better. We get it."
All right.
"Gorillas have both small testicles and a penis because the female gorillas, they live in harems with no choice in their mates. So see what happens? That's what happens when you take competition out of the marketplace." This is me.
Interesting.
"So males only need to compete with other males. They just wrestle to win their harem. And now as for humans, we change the actual anatomy of our penis due to bipedalism and culture. Apes all have bones in their penis and must flex the penis muscles in order to ejaculate."
Oh my.
"However, humans lack a bone. The lack of a bone is thought to be a combination of walking upright and wanting to show off to females when fully aroused."
Uh-huh.
"Some anthropologists believe humans used to be matriarchal-based society, and females chose their mates and would judge mates based on their penis."
Oh, they still do. I promise you that.
Oh, yeah, but I don't take it out in the date. You don't take it out in the first date.
I know that. I'm just saying, you don't see many small dongs in the adult film industry for a reason.
Well, no, not in the... But that's paid studs. That's a difference than just husband sometimes. Husbands have normal penises. I could tell that for a fact.
Okay.
"But based on the above studies, if a Bigfoot is an ape, most likely they'll have a smaller penis than humans. Since they are bipedal, there is a chance that those proportions of humans might be skewed to be similar to chimpanzees." I don't know, because are they apes? Or are they truly a combination of the two? And if they are bipedal, does that not make the penis longer? But I don't know. "But if Bigfoot," this is back to the email, "but if Bigfoot is a time traveler, then he's probably just a very hairy Polish man who doesn't have access to razors and at this point is too afraid to go to the barber for fear of being shot. We would assume he has whatever the average penis size is for a Polish man. This is based on my very hairy Polish boyfriend who looks like a Bigfoot when he's all natural. Hail Satan from Remy." Thank you very much.
Well,
and that's the truth. But
thank you
I mean,
so
yeah,
much,
I mean,
Remy.
All Polish men are pretty much stock standard.
I think so. All right, everyone. Well, that wraps up this week's Side Stories. Thank you all so much for purchasing our live special. You can get it out there on the internet, www.lastpodcastlive.com. So thank you all so much for the nice comments. And you can message LP on the left on Instagram or Henry, Dr. Fantasty on Insta. Instagram.
Always,
and I'm Ben Gizzle.
Always. Side Stories, LPOTL at gmail.com. We love getting your stories. We love your feedback. We're going to do more reading of emails in the future because I think they're fun.
Oh, yeah. That was fascinating regarding the genitalia of the Bigfoot. A little inside insider information. So, yeah, put message us or tag us, and I'll try to put it on my Instagram feed also. And we'll just have a lot of fun with it.
And I think it's important to remember. So, again, tacking 2019 aggressively. Getting out there, mixing it up. No stone unturned. No weed unlicked.
Uh-oh.
All right? And so what I'm going to start is a quote from Robert E. Howard from The Power of Conan, The Power of Crom himself. This is what I'm using to fuel me this year.
Okay.
Right?
Now, this is an author?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, this is a statesman.
Okay.
But it's more true than the pitiful words from a senator.
Okay.
I have known many gods. He who denies them is as blind as he who trusts them too deeply. I seek not beyond death. It may be the blackness averred by the Nemadian skeptics, or Crom's realm of ice and cloud, or the snowy plains and vaulted halls of the Nordheimer's Valhalla. I know not, nor do I care. Let me live deep while I live. Let me know the rich juices of red meat and stinging wine on my palate, the hot embrace of white arms, the mad exultation of battle when the blue blades flame and crimson, and I am content. Let teachers and philosophers brood over questions of reality and illusion. I know this. If life is illusion, then I am no less an illusion, and being thus, the illusion is real to me. I live. I burn with life. I love. I slay and am content.
Honestly, if you said that was from Alex Jones, I would have also believed you.
I mean, he's just an intense man. Robert Howard is very, very intense man. Committed suicide.
Real? That's horrible.
Yes. Right. So make sure you love and you laugh, because if not, you're going to end up like Robert E. Howard, and you're going to not be living.
That's right. You got to live, laugh, love. That's wonderful.
Triple L, baby.
Triple L. Let's see. I guess that's it. I hope everyone has a wonderful week. Is that a thing to say?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me and enjoy your week like Kissel said.
Woo-hoo. Sister Hazel's still in my head.
Dude, get it out of your head.
I'm fucking gonna blow my brains out.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money on everything for your spring projects at Menards. We have all of your garden and landscaping essentials. Master Garden Premium Garden Soil contains a slow-release fertilizer that feeds gardens for up to 9 months. It produces better results and is ready to use for all your gardening needs. Save big on Menards' great selection of garden and landscaping products. Compare brands in-store or online at Menards.com.
Save big money at